Sodor Stories presents
Thomas and the Twins by Christopher Audrey and read by Toby Yelland.
The bridge across the river needs repairs, the Fat Controller told the engines. I shall have to make a weight limit for a while. Percy and Daisy will be all right. And Toby, but Thomas is too heavy.
Thomas looked anxious.
How would you like to go and help Edward? Suggested the Fat Controller.
Please, sir, can Annie and Clarabelle come too? Asked Thomas. The Fat Controller shook his head.
They'll be needed here, he said. Daisy can't carry all the passengers on her own.
Percy promised to look after Annie and Clarabelle, but they were sorry to see Thomas go. To cheer up Thomas, Edward took him to see Bill and Ben, the twin engines who lived in the China Clay Harbour.
Oh dear, another blue engine, said Bill cheekily. First Edward, now him.
Don't forget Gordon, said Ben. He came here once, by mistake, so he said.
I don't think he enjoyed it much, he added innocently.
The twins both chuckled, remembering.
No, but seriously, Edward, said Bill. Why doesn't the Fat Controller paint engines a proper colour? Like us, for instance.
Thomas let off steam indignantly.
Let me tell you, he began.
All right, you two, laughed Edward. Go and move those trucks, or there won't be enough room for any more.
Bill and Ben, unabashed, went off happily.
You just don't have to take them too seriously, explained Edward.
Thomas smiled. I wish I knew how you deal with them, he said. Near the harbour, the line crossed the road. The crossing had no gates. The road led into a farm which made butter, supplied milk and eggs to the shops in town. One morning, the farmer had difficulty starting his lorry. He did it at last, but the lorry jerked along the fits and starts. The farmer was worried about the load of milk, butter and eggs.
The milk will be churned into butter soon, he mumbled to himself as he neared the crossing.
The lorry lurched across the rails. The back wheels were just clear when the engine made a noise like a tired sheep and stopped. The back of the lorry was still jutting out over the railway line. The farmer tried to start again, but it would not go. He had just gone down to telephone for help when he heard a train approaching. Thomas wasn't going fast. When he saw the lorry, he braked hard. But he couldn't stop and hit the lorry with a loud crash. The force of the blow spun the lorry round. Splintered wood flew everywhere, and eggs, butter, and milk were catapulted all over Thomas.
Ugh, he exclaimed. Just look at my poor lorry, said the farmer, emerging from behind the hedge where he had been sheltering.
The driver made sure Thomas wasn't hurt, then stood back to survey the mess.
Ha ha! What a way to make an omelette, he laughed.
It's not funny, said Thomas crossly.
An egg yolk trickled down his nose and burst on his buffer. You're not standing where I am, said his driver.
You look like a scrambled egg, Thomas.
Well, if a scrambled egg feels as sticky and as wet as I do, then it's very uncomfortable, said Thomas. Please clean me.
Both driver and fireman tried hard, but the heat from Thomas's boiler had cooked the eggs, and they were stuck fast.
Sorry, Thomas, said his driver at last. We can't block the line any longer. We have to go on. At the end of the line, Thomas was taken to Bill and Ben's yard to be cleaned. The twins were there. Hello, said Ben. What's this? Must be a new engine, said Bill. Ben inspected the arrival closely. No, Ben, he said. That's not a new engine. It's Thomas. But it's our colour, Ben. And Thomas doesn't think our colour is proper for an engine. They heard a gritting noise. Are your joints stiff, Bill? But it wasn't Bill's joints. It was Thomas gnashing his teeth. It took a long time to clean Thomas properly. And the twins kept teasing him until Edward told them to stop. A party of railway enthusiasts are coming soon, he said. I shan't bring them unless you behave. Bill and Ben were excited. Enthusiasts always made a fuss of them and took their photographs. When? They squealed in unison. Edward smiled and winked at Thomas. Next week, he said. But not if you don't behave. Bill and Ben promised that they would. Is it next week? They asked Thomas each morning. Thomas enjoyed keeping the twins in suspense. Next week never comes, he would answer mysteriously. Bill and Ben weren't worried. They kept urging their crew to polish them. What's the hurry? They laughed. The enthusiasts aren't going to eat breakfast off you, you know. No, Bill whispered. But they might if we were Thomas. The twins thought it was a huge joke. It was lucky that Edward and Thomas weren't there to hear it. At last the day came. The drivers and firemen agreed to give the engines an extra polish. They were sparkling when Thomas arrived with the special train. Many of the enthusiasts had notebooks, and almost all had cameras. Bill and Ben didn't know which way to look, but they loved it. Then the visitors queued up for a ride in either Bill or Ben's cab. The cabs were low, and several visitors forgot to duck. But they didn't seem to mind. The enthusiasts' visit was almost over, when a shunter came running up.
A ship needs moving before the tide goes down, he said. One of you see to it, please.
Ben went at once. And most of the visitors went too, to watch. Only one man stayed. He had a camera which took instant pictures.
Just one more, he kept saying.
Soon even Bill was tired of him. The photographer screwed his camera to a tripod and pointed it at Bill.
This is it, he chortled. What a picture!
Ben's fireman ran up to them.
Ben needs your help, he said. The ship's moving aground, and he can't move it on his own.
Right, Bill, said the driver. We can't wait any longer.
He turned a tap, and with a hiss and a roar, Bill vanished in a cloud of steam. At that moment, the photographer pressed the button. And when the steam cleared, Bill was hurrying off to help his twin. The photographer peeled off the cover from the instant picture, looking at it, and threw it to the ground in disgust. Quickly, the engines were coupled together.
When I say heave, heave, instructed Ben. One, two, three, heave! Come on, puffed the engines.
The cable tightened and stretched. At last, with a shudder, the ship slipped off the mud and, towed by the engines,
glided into the deep water. Bill's driver found a discarded photograph on the floor. All it showed was a cloud of steam with, very dimly, Bill's funnel sticking out the top. He showed it to Bill.
"What a picture!" remarked Bill.
To no one in particular. Trevor the traction engine was feeling depressed. He couldn't breathe properly.
"Your boiler needs mending," said his owner, the vicar. "But I can't afford it at present."
One morning, the vicar's telephone rang. The vicar answered it, and then hurried out to see Trevor.
"You may be a bit under the weather, but you can manage this," he said. "The farmer has a tree down, and wants us to saw it up."
When Trevor had steam, they went off to the farm and set to work in the field near the railway. Thomas passed with Edward's coaches. He whistled cheerfully. When Edward passed later that morning, he was pulling trucks with a sort of tent over them. These were specifically for carrying China clay. The men called them hoods.
"Why hoods?" Thomas had asked Bill and Ben.
"The hoods are those things like tents," explained Bill.
"They keep the clay dry," added Ben.
"Wet clay goes in tanks."
But to Trevor, they were simply trucks. He was enjoying himself. The only thing he liked more than helping the vicar was giving children rides. He chunted happily as his pile of logs beside him grew. Edward returned with the same empty trucks. As he passed the place where Trevor was working, the line seemed to wobble under him.
"Ooh, that feels like a loose rail," he thought. "We'd better tell the maintenance team."
At the harbour, Edward exchanged the empty trucks with full ones and set off for the junction again. Trevor dozed. The wind had dropped, and it was comfortable in the autumn sun. It seemed no time at all before he heard Edward coming back. Trevor whistled a cheerful greeting. He was watching Edward, and so did not see one of the trucks. Six from the end, sink, jump, and shudder. Just at that place where Edward had felt a weakness in the line that morning. Sparks flew, a truck wheel jammed, and with a crack, a coupling broke. The last six trucks and the guard's van lurched, bumped, and stopped. The guard, safe in his van, blew his whistle. Edward, far in front, didn't hear it, and hurried on without realizing what had happened. But Trevor was closer to the guard's van than Edward. He heard the whistle and looked back to see trucks laying at strange angles. Trevor called in horror.
"Stop, Edward, stop!"
Edward heard that.
"It's Trevor," he called anxiously. "What's wrong?"
"We'd better stop and see," said his driver.
The fireman climbed into the tender.
"Phew," he exclaimed. "Look, it's not Trevor. It's us!"
The guard went to protect the train. The fireman went to the farmhouse to telephone for help. And soon the breakdown gang came to clear the line. That evening, the Fat Controller came to see Trevor.
"Thank you, Trevor," he said. "I heard about your boiler, and because you saved a nasty situation, you are to go to the works to be mended. Would you like that?"
"Oh, sir," said Trevor, "thank you."
China clay is not quarried as other minerals are. It's washed out of the ground with strong hoses. Then the mixture of clay and water has to settle and be drained before Bill and Ben can take them away. Part of the line, which the twins took to reach the China clay, runs near the sea. There is a hollow in the land just here, which often floods after heavy rain. Local people have called it the drain. The autumn gales, which had brought down the farmer's tree for Terence to cut up, were also causing rough seas and high tides. When rain came too, the engine crews looked gloomy.
A really high tide now, said Ben's driver. Could make real trouble at the drain.
But though pools of water lay either side of the line, they grew no larger. Bill and Ben puffed happily to and fro, replacing loaded hoods with empty ones. They forgot about the drain. The rain began again, and the wind strengthened. The engines went to the clay pits that morning. Their drivers noticed that the water in the drain was rising. While Bill arrived with empty trucks, Ben prepared to leave with a train of full ones. At the drain, he found that the water was level with the top of the rails.
Come on, said Ben bravely. We must get through, if only to get help for Bill.
Go back, go back, the wind seemed to shriek. Ben took no notice. When the rising tide whipped into a huge wave by the wind, swept across the line.
Oof, spluttered Ben, as water crashed against his side.
Help!
With a hiss, the water reached his fire.
Quick, Ben, urged his driver.
But it was too late. With a despairing gasp, Ben stopped. He was stranded in the middle of the drain, with cold seawater lapping his wheels. The firemen set off for help.
Keep on the sleepers, advised the driver. We don't want you swamped as well.
The water had reached the fireman's waist, but he struggled on. At last, cold and soaking where the trucks were, his driver wasted no time. Ben must be rescued, he said. We need a steel cable, a pair of waders, and determination.
Yes, said Thomas doubtfully.
He understood about the cable, but he wasn't sure about determination, and didn't even know what waders were. Thomas stopped at the water's edge. His fireman put on the waders and set out, carrying the end of the cable. Ben was delighted to see him. The fireman fastened the cable end to Ben's front coupling. Then he uncoupled the trucks so that Bill, who had come behind, could pull them clear.
Right, he said as he joined Ben's driver. Let's go!
Poor Ben had no steam left to whistle, so the driver and fireman waved to show Thomas that they were ready. Carefully, Thomas took the strain. Slowly, with the water cascading all round him, Ben came out of the drain. Once he was clear, Thomas was properly coupled to him and helped him back to the shed.
Thank you, Thomas, said Ben gratefully.
And his eyes twinkled for the first time in several hours. It was 4 days before the water in the drain subsided. When Ben reached home, both twins agreed that it would be ungrateful for them to ever tease Thomas again.